بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كمثل الشيطان إذ قال للإنسان اكفر فلما كفر قال إني بريء منك إني أخاف الله رب العالمين Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayh ended this verse of Surah Hashr. He mentions the following incident. Barsisa was a very pious monk. He had devoted himself to the worship of Allah Ta'ala for 70 years. In this period, he had completely kept himself aloof from sin. People of the past, they would seclude themselves in the monasteries. This rahbaniyat, they would stay away from women, from men, and worship Allah Ta'ala, sometimes not even coming out into the garden or into the forest. They would just stay in their monasteries and worship Allah Ta'ala all the time. Iblis, who is the chief of the shayateen, was not pleased with his worshipping Allah Ta'ala for so long, and he decided to gather his most wretched shayateen and recruited the most deceitful from amongst them to mislead this man Barsisa. When we listen to the story, each one of us should think that am I falling in the trap of shaitan? Because we have two main enemies in this world. One is our nafs, our own desires, and the other is shaitan. And shaitan will not rest until he sees that he has put us in a difficulty, in a problem. His main goal is if he can take our iman away. And shaitan works with different people in different ways. Some people he has a very long-term plan. Slowly, in the beginning he might even make a person do some ibadat, but that is his plan. His plan is to take him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually. أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا. And eventually a person lands in such a position that his evil actions become beautiful in his eyes. He sees it to be very good. He can't even understand what this Maulana is saying, what he's carrying on about. There's nothing wrong with it. What is intermingling and mixing up with women? She's like my sister. So he will justify his wrongs. He won't be able to see the evil in the wrong that he is doing. And he will continue with it. That is the object of shaitan. That a person must get involved in such sin that he won't even make tawbah and istighfar. So the wicked shaitan dressed up in the garb of a pious person and he appeared before Barsisa. While he was engaged in worship, he called out to him but was ignored. Barsisa used to raise his head from worship once every 10 days and used to fast for many days at a time. Shaitan then went into the monastery and engaged himself in ibadat with astounding devotion. Barsisa began noticing his extreme sacrifice in worship and decided to get some clarification from him. Shaitan explained that he wanted to worship in the company of Barsisa and to learn from him. So as we explained, shaitan uses different tactics for different people. I need to drop this person, but I can't come to him very directly. I have to come very indirectly, sometimes in the form of piety. So Barsisa continued with his worship, and shaitan continued with his worship. Barsisa continued to notice how shaitan exerted himself. Shaitan again requested that Barsisa allow him to join him in worship. So he agreed, and they engaged themselves in prayer and fasting for many days at a time. Soon shaitan won over the confidence of Barsisa and taught him a few words which he could cure the sick and the insane. Shaitan then went back to Iblis and reported that he had succeeded in overpowering the pious monk. Now we would think, how did he succeed? He worshipped with him and he fasted with him, which is very difficult for shaitan. Fasting is very difficult to keep himself hungry. But he did all of this and he taught him some words to cure the people. He said, I succeeded. See the long-term plan of shaitan. Very, very cunning. And we will not be able to sometimes work out that shaitan is deceiving us. Hazrat Maulana Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullahi says, in my student days, I noticed my uncle, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas, engaging in Nafil Salah right till Isha. So I thought, hey, what a beautiful thing. Let me start. He said, I started my Salah. My father, Maulana Yahya, came. One tight smack he gave me. said, go and study your kitabs. This is a deception of shaitan. What you're supposed to be doing now, you're not doing now. Your uncle has gone far ahead of you. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing at that time. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing at that time. You're a student. Sometimes a person, he neglects what he's supposed to be doing at home. He's spending hours in a masjid in ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. His mother is ailing, crying, and she needs assistance at home. That is his ibadat. Like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told that sahabi wanted to go in jihad. He said, are your parents alive? He said, fafihima fajahid. That is your jihad. Take care of your parents, take care of your mother. So different people, there are different requirements for different people. So shaitan knows how to drop each person. So he came and he taught him, he made ibadat with him. But he said, I got him. Then he went to another person and he began strangling him. Dressed as a common person, he approached the man's family and advised them, go to Barsisa because he can cure this man for his insanity. When the man was brought to Barsisa, he recited the words taught to him by Shaitan and the man was cured. Shaitan soon began inflicting other people with the same illness and directed them to Barsisa who would cure them. Then he did the same to a young girl from the family of the king of the time. The girl had three brothers disguised as a physician, doctor. Shaitan instructed them to take her and to leave her in the monastery of Barsisa, but they refused, saying that he, being a pious person, would not allow her to stay with him. Shaitan proposed a second plan in case Barsisa refused. He advised that they build a monastery close to his monastery and leave her therein. They agreed. Barsisa, as predicted, refused to keep her, so they built another monastery in close proximity and then left her there. So as the story goes, it's a very, very lengthy incident. I'm just going to cut it short. So Shaitan used this long plan to get him to this point. Then he put that girl in another place. And then said, now what will happen on its own. There's a magnetic effect. You leave a man and a woman alone close by. There's a magnetic effect and Shaitan is the third. I'm asking you today, I'm asking myself, with the cell phone it's become so easy. Can we imagine the damage that he's done? With parents complaining again and again, Allah Ta'ala give us delight to see that we are giving our children these devices, giving them the freedom, giving them free rein, allowing them to engage in these activities, and then we complain thereafter when the damage is done. So nevertheless, with time, this person started thinking to himself that, how can I leave her alone? I need to serve her, I need to feed her. Then he started thinking that she needs to talk to someone, she's very lonely. Then he went in and started to talk to her. And once a man starts to talk to a strange woman, all hell breaks loose thereafter. Then they got very, very close, intimate. And eventually, we understand what took place. The child was born. Now when the child was born, now Shaitan, he got his goal. He committed zina. Now all of us understand how wrong zina is. But there is one group that call themselves the Shias. They say when you make zina one time, you reach the maqam of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. When you make zina two times, they call it mut'ah. What's zina? You reach the maqam of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu. And when you make zina three times, then you reach the maqam of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Can we understand how insane this is? But people are praising such men. Such people that, if you look into the annals of history, what happened in Syria, when Maulana came now, he is giving a report back few months ago from KZN, they went to do some distribution. He said, Maulana, we visited the Sednaya prison. Do you know there's human compression machines there? Human mincing machines. They would can humans, put them in cans after mincing them. Said, mind-boggling, what took place? Person will get disturbed, you won't be, he'll lose sleep. What these people did, 580,000 Sunni Muslims, not one Sunni masjid, not one Sunni masjid in the whole of Iran. Understand the history. Before a person talks and says things, we need to understand the history of these people. I say to you, in that holy place in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have the audacity to stand right there by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and swear his best friend. His best friend, we give our life for him. His best friend that was the only person was him, with him in the Ghar-e-Thawr on the Hijrat. was the only man could steady the ship. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, the Sahaba sent Hazrat Salim radiallahu anhu. Umar is standing with his sword. He said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't die. Sahaba are confused. Salim, you go and see where is Abu Bakr. Call him because he is the only man can steady the ship. So when he came back, he went inside the house of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. He gives him the last kiss. The departure. He kisses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He holds onto his shoulder. Say, wa, oh my Nabi, Nabi, wa Nabiya, wa Safiya, wa Khalila, my friend, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Covers Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He comes out. Sahaba ask him, at that point, so many masail, this is in Shamail al-Tirmidhi, they ask him, they say, has Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really passed away? They waited for his confirmation. He said, yes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. Then they accepted. He steadied the ship, and so many masail he explained to them. Abu Sufyan in the battle of Uhud, after Uhud, first they call out, is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive? Silence. Is Abu Bakr alive? Silence. Is Umar? He also knew the rank. First Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Abu Bakr, then Umar. Sahaba say, how many times we heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I did this, me, Abu Bakr and Umar. Me, Abu Bakr and Umar. Me, Abu Bakr and Umar. Radiallahu anhum. Someone asked a great scholar, what is the position of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma? He said, just like now in Mawt, where the qabars are, that is the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they be raised like that. So these people, brothers, we need to be very, very clear that there is a clear line that is drawn. When a person is out of Islam, he is out of Islam. Outwardly, he can be anything. But when he is out of Islam, we need to understand the enmity, the wolf in disguise. Nevertheless, shaitan, now we're talking about shaitan. So shaitan, he came to this person, he said, he told him to kill her, to kill the children, the child, bury them. Then he goes and whispers in the brother's ears when they come back, where's our sister that he killed? There, she's buried there. So anyway, the investigation was done. He was about to be beheaded. And then shaitan said, I put you in this mess. I can take you out of this mess. You need to do one thing. Now he's in desperation. And shaitan will take a person to desperation. He'll make him commit zina. He'll make him gamble. He'll make him steal. He'll bring him to the point of desperation. And then the person will be ready to do anything. He'll give up his iman. He made sajda to shaitan, and at that moment he beheaded him. And that is what this ayat says. Like the example of shaitan, when he tells a person, ukfur, become a kafir. When he becomes a kafir, he said, inni bari'un minka, I got nothing to do with you. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He leaves you at that last moment, he pushes you over the cliff. You fall into the fire of Jahannam, and he's laughing maniacally that together, after Qiyamah, we will be in the fire of Jahannam. And there is hope. There is one ayat that says, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Indeed, shaitan has no power over those who believe and put their trust only in their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So together with strengthening our iman, putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all really, we need a sheikh. We need a spiritual mentor that can tell us when we are going off. This is where you're going off, this is where you are doing something right, and you can guide us. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, save us and protect us from the evil of the shayateen and our nafs.